Hey there, thoughtful listener. Are you looking for introductions to partners, investors, influencers, and clients? Well, I've had private conversations with over 2,000 leaders, asking them where their best business comes from. I've got a free video you can watch with no opt-in required, where I'll share the exact steps necessary to be 100% inbound in your industry over the next 6 to 8 months with no spam, no ads, and no sales. What I teach has worked for me for over 15 years and has helped me create 8 figures in revenue for my own companies. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. Also, don't forget, the Thoughtful Entrepreneur is always looking for great guests. Go to upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. I'd love to have you. With us right now, it is Rick Jordan. Rick, you're a speaker, you're a coach, you're an AI and cybersecurity CEO. Your company is Reach Out, and that website is reachoutit.com. Rick, you're also a bit of a media celebrity. Your personal website is rickjordan.tv, and you host the show All In with Rick Jordan. Rick, it's great to have you.
Well, Chick and Josh, good to be here, my man. Thanks for having
me. All the way from Chicago, and my wife is originally from Chicagoland, and congratulations on the Pope. I don't know if you have anything to do with his selection, but nonetheless, a point of pride for Chicago.
Not that
yet
level
again.
Of influence as an influencer.
Well, Rick, before we get going talking about the work you do, and I definitely want to talk about, you know, what's going on, and particularly around AI security. What I would imagine someone like you probably has some hobbies or some passions or things that you've been geeking out on lately.
Man, it's been lately. I just picked it up again, I would say. And with my daughter, of all people, too, playing Call of Duty on Xbox. Yeah, Black Ops 3, I think, is what it is. And
yeah.
I heard stories like during the day she's playing by herself, you know, she's like, I got to get as good as dad. I got to keep up with him, you know? So it's a lot of fun. You know, a good friend of mine, Clinton Sparks, he's a large music producer. Yeah. He also heads up the Global Gaming League. And when he and I were on a show a couple of weeks ago together, he was talking about how the percentage of gamers, like 48% are female. I'm like, dude, that makes sense. This is what I'm doing my daughter these days. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you take into account like mobile gaming, like in games in totality. I've actually even heard that it's actually a larger percentage. It's a majority of gamers are female. Take all platforms into account. You know, what a great opportunity for bonding. You know, my wife and I play Super Mario Party, and we play at least once a week. And it's just, you know, it's just so much more fun than, you know, maybe more passive activities like watching shows and stuff, which is fine. We enjoy that as well. But, you know, it's like you get the competition going. There's so much to talk about, or high-fiving each other. Listen, dads, game with your kids if you're not already doing that.
No joke. I've always held this thing about proximity when I talk about spending time with my kids, because my oldest two, my daughter who I'm talking about, she's one of a boy-girl twin. They're 17 years old. And I've always talked about the word proximity, because even when they were first born, you know, it was like, even if I had to just go get some deodorant from the drugstore or something like that, I would grab a kid, man, when they were just 2 months old and just take one. It's like, all right, it's your turn. I didn't have to, but I just wanted to. And that's what they've grown up knowing. So now just being in the same room is quite relaxing with all of them.
You're a Midwest guy. I don't know if you have memories of like, you know, my dad, he just like anytime there was a project, he just, a lot of times I wouldn't be doing much. I'd just be sitting there watching him work
right on
whatever, hand him the red-handled screwdriver or whatever, you know, occasionally. But, you know, in retrospect, I'm so grateful for that. I really am. You know, even if I was bored out of my mind at the time, at least, you know, again, proximity to dad.
For real.
Yeah, Rick, hey, let's talk about the work that you do. And again, I know you do a lot of education, speaking around AI and cybersecurity, and obviously that kind of gets into the work you do with Reach Out. Do you mind just giving us a kind of an overview of your impact in the world today?
Yeah, for sure. Well, right now, I mean, I took Reach Out public about 18 months ago, and we reverse merged. We actually just announced the name change of the public company to Frequency Holdings this week, because it's a modern tech holding company to actually put together these symbiotic organizations underneath. Reach Out is most definitely the flagship right now as a cybersecurity and IT service provider to small and mid-sized businesses. But now we're also launching Trustless, which is a blockchain identity secure data exchange platform, quantum level encryption, you know, two-key system, proof of the transaction on both sides, just to help secure everyone's data and retain ownership of the people that actually own the data so it doesn't go out the window. There's nothing that exists with it right now, but that's because things like the U.S. Treasury happened, right, a couple of months ago. You know, it's just insane how these things continue to happen. So we're trying to plug those holes in a fragmented industry. That's what I keep calling it, is a fragmented industry, especially for SMBs. They call their IT guy, and they don't even know if their IT guy can truly help, or they think they can, and for the most part, they're out of their league. So hopefully we can just plant our flag across the United States and just build up this nationwide brand, kind of like the T-Mobile of IT and cybersecurity for small, mid-sized business.
Yeah, and I see that ReachOut's growth has been driven by a lot of acquisitions. You mind maybe sharing a little bit about your growth trajectory with ReachOut?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a few years ago when I started learning about acquisition growth, or growth by acquisition, M&A, and taking a look at how we were growing, and it was great. We were pushing through, but I got to the point to where it's like, you know what? I don't want incremental growth anymore, because I have a vision that's beyond what incremental growth can provide when it comes to speed. There's no way, I don't think that you can incrementally grow, at least in a service-based industry, you know, even over a span of, let's say, two decades, and cover all of North America. I think it's kind of impossible to actually make the kind of impact that I want. So when I took a look at the acquisition model, it's like, this is the way to go. We plant our flag across the US. We inject our scalability, our profitability, our SOPs, our operational maturity levels, and rebrand. And now we have that T-Mobile of IT and cybersecurity. So acquisition-wise, I will say that there's been some hard knocks around M&A. You know, we acquired several large firms at first, you know, the same size and one that was even a little bigger than us. It was very difficult to integrate the larger firms that were really around relatively the same size as us. And really, it came down to the people side, because it was culture. And keeping on the sellers, that was a little difficult because they still had their idea about how things should run. They were selling to take some chips off the table, wanted to be part of something because they stagnated and just couldn't figure out the next step to grow their business past a certain point. Yeah. But then when they came in, I mean, you hit seller's remorse because you go from being like the man or the woman to now I'm a man or a woman within a larger organization. It's a little bit of an ego hit, even though most of them, I think, meant well, it just didn't translate into actual application. So that, of course, when you inherit all those employees as well that used to be theirs, now they're yours, that still has a reverberating effect across the board if you have a fight of culture. So now our target is to get some fast-moving, smaller managed service providers across the country, you know, rather than 5 million in revenue, which is big in this industry, maybe 500K to a million, plant our flag, and then we can inject the organic revenue growth vehicle into those markets, and 2 to 5X them is the intention with each of those markets within the next 2 years. And, you know, instead of 2 or 3 acquisitions a year, large ones, maybe we could do 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 as we keep on scaling up.
Yeah. Well, Rick, let's share some wisdom if you can. You know, here we are getting close to, you know, halfway through 2025. What do you find yourself talking most commonly to business leaders out there regarding the things that they should be most concerned about in and around security, particularly as it pertains to AI?
Yeah, AI. The biggest thing that we're facing when it comes to AI is AI fraud. You know, and that hopefully Trustless can resolve some of that. But AI, I mean, the playbook hasn't changed, man. You know, when I speak specifically on cybersecurity, I'll usually post a photo of a family from Sri Lanka, you know, because it looks like just a benign family that's across the world. And then I say, but this is who's hacking you. It's not somebody that's in this black hood in a dark room.
No.
This is who it is. If you think about Pablo Escobar, you know, and running the cocaine empire that he had, he was a family guy. It's always a great reference back to that these are regular people, and to them, it's just business. It's not actually to them harming another human or humanity to even go that far. So when they try to do these things, I mean, it's still the same stuff. It's phishing emails. That's the biggest, social engineering. You know, things that come across from Chick-fil-A saying that, hey, this is our new strawberry lemonade, but when you click on it to get the offer, it wants you to log into Google. or wants you to log into Microsoft to get the offer, that's a fake page. Because Chick-fil-A doesn't do that. They just want to grab your username and your password, which is probably used across the board with a lot of different sites that you work with. So the method hasn't changed, but what AI has done, just like it's done in legitimate businesses, is it's allowed that to be scalable. Yeah. Now instead of being able to send out 100,000 emails a day, you know, from this family in Sri Lanka, this family hacking business, now it could be 1 million emails a day. The copy is getting better because you used to be able to pick things out.
Yeah, right.
You know, like misspellings.
Spellings,
you know,
yeah.
Grammatical, you know, just nuances and like, this just doesn't read right. You know, and you'd be able to pick that up. AI has allowed those holes to be plugged. Yeah, so AI has really injected a lot of scalability into the same old playbook.
Yeah. Rick, how do you, like, when? So obviously you're speaking, you're a great educator on this topic. What is the actual work that you do with either Reach Out or are you advising, consulting?
Yeah, definitely advising and consulting is the primary. And it depends on the specific needs of the customer. You know, for example, if it's a law firm. You know, a law firm that I actually have a meeting with a little later today. I mean, as a CEO, my lane is capital, clients, and stages. You know, that's my lane as the CEO of a public company. Talking with them because they have external clients that require security assessments. You know, in order for these external customers, because they might be bound by regulatory bodies like HIPAA, right? If it's a medical organization, or it might be the Department of Justice. So they have things that they have to abide by for the government. In order to comply and actually do business with these outside firms, law firms specifically in this case. So what we'll do is we'll advise and then we'll say, here's what you need to do. And then we'll also execute on the back end. So as soon as they say thumbs up, we will go right in there and we will take over everything for them, you know, implementing all the control measures they need and being there when the shit hits the fan too.
Yeah. I feel like we should share a tip or some sort of an action item that leaders today might consider. It's like over the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, here's a couple things I want you to do regarding your internal systems. Anything come to mind that you give
absolutely.
Some homework on?
The very basics, right, which a lot still do not do, is multi-factor authentication or 2FA. Yeah. Yeah, it's been around forever, right? You log into your bank account, it sends you a text message. It's that simple. 2FA, multi-factor, or two-factor is a combination of something you know, like a password, right? And then something you have on your person, like a phone. And you need those two combined in order to gain access. Implementing that across your organization is absolutely essential because it verifies that that person trying to log in is the right person that matches that user. You know, and of course gains access to everything that person should have access to. Now, after that, security awareness training. We talked about the Chick-fil-A emails. This is actually becoming standardized and required for even having general liability insurance for any kind of business. They'll go through and they'll have a checkbox saying, do you have these controls in place? Because a lot of what we talked about, like with that family in Sri Lanka, there's no technical controls that can prevent that one person, I always call them Bob, right? That can prevent Bob in the cubicle from clicking on the bad stuff. There's always a Bob in every organization. And the only way to combat that is with education. So security awareness training is actually required. And it's even part of the government cybersecurity framework now, which now trickles down. And the third for individuals is quite simple, man. Freeze your credit reports. Yeah, it's very simple. There's three bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. You can download the apps for all three. So if you need to go purchase a car, apply for a credit card, whatever you want to do, it's a simple tap to unlock it. You apply and you tap it again just to relock it. It's that simple. And that prevents any unauthorized accounts being opened up in your name. Completely kills identity theft.
Yeah. Awful. But this is just the reality of the world. Don't blame the messenger.
It is
where we are. And, you know, it's not a question of if you're going to have some sort of an issue. It is a question of when, because it's just becoming easier and easier and easier. Passwords alone, and I'm coming at it from the consumer education standpoint. That's kind of my media brand. Like passwords that are old technology and really, really easy to get
they
around
are.
Today.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
anyone
you
could.
You can just add two characters to the end of it, and it takes a brute force attack another several decades to try to get through it. Make them longer. Make them longer.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Rick, tell me about, folks that follow you. Do you dispense wisdom like this on a regular basis? If so, what is that? Maybe talk about your resources or your media properties, just kind of the content and education that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, generally speaking, I speak to the entrepreneurial crowd, how to grow, how to scale, how to make your life what you want it to be. For me, it's like cybersecurity is just the vehicle that got me to where I'm at. And I like telling the story, it was about 2017, 2018. I grew up as an engineer, man, but I also grew up as a communicator, musician as well. So I had the whole right brain, left brain thing going on. I got so bored with this business back in 2017 that I'm like, I need to do something to make this interesting to me again, or I need to sell and get into something completely different. So then I pursued, being a public figure. Then I pursued being a communicator and helping people grow in life and business and their relationships. All of that typically has a foundation in business. If you look at a lot of the individuals that do speak on stages to help people with whatever challenges they have in their life, they always have this business that they've developed first. Yeah, so it's like you've had the hard knocks, you've been through those things, and then you can relate to everybody else. But then it grew into obviously a media personality. Mm-hmm. It speaks to communication skills. And there is nothing, no matter what business you are, so anybody in your audience, right, no matter what business you're in, communication is still the most important skill set. Because when I go on Fox, on Bloomberg, on News Nation, whatever it is, I even talked on Bloomberg and CBS Money Talk about the Elon Musk purchase of Twitter. Mm-hmm. Just to break that down. And that's literally what I was asked. It's like, Rick, can you come on and break this down for America?
Generally say yes.
You got it. Exactly.
By the
right?
way, when that question comes in, many famous stories in my background just came from that. Can you talk about car doors falling off a Ford, whatever, with some recall? I'm like, yes, I will. And do I know anything about it? Absolutely not.
Right on. You remember the drones and the UFOs? Exactly. Like, would you talk about UFOs? Yeah, I'll talk about UFOs.
And then Rick, certainly for folks that might benefit from engaging you or your brands or your company, do you mind sharing maybe next steps for that audience?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm always in my DMs. If you want to get to know me and want to just push through in life and break through, at Mr. Rick Jordan on Instagram. You want to connect in business, LinkedIn, same scenario, Mr. Rick Jordan.
Yeah, I've got all of the links, by the way, to your website, including your personal website, rickjordan.tv. We didn't mention your book, Situational Ethics, which, again, that's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. The links we have all set up, we've got links to everything. Give it a read. Rick Jordan, it's been great having you. Thank you so much
Thanks,
for joining
Josh.
Us.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Show. If you are a thoughtful business owner or professional who would like to be on this daily program, please visit upmyinfluence.com and click on podcast. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program every day. Together, we are empowering one another as thoughtful leaders. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this program, if you're looking for introductions to partners, investors, influencers, and clients, I have had private conversations with over 2,000 leaders, asking them where their best business comes from. I've got a free video that you can watch right now with no opt-in or email required, where I'm going to share the exact steps necessary to be 100% inbound in your industry over the next 6 to 8 months with no spam, no ads, and no sales. What I teach has worked for me for more than 15 years and has helped me create 8 figures in revenue for my own companies. Just head to upmyinfluence.com and watch my free class on how to create endless high-ticket sales appointments. Make sure to hit subscribe so that tomorrow morning, that's right, 7 days a week, you are going to be inspired and motivated to succeed. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you for around 15 minutes
every single day. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the Thoughtful Entrepreneur Movement.